So the epistle for the fourth Sunday in Lent is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, and engendering unto bondage, which is Agar, for Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is rich, is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for many are the children of the desolates, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the spirit, so also is it now. But what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Please stand from the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from John chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, and in like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up therefore and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Please be seated. If thou didst know the gift of God, in the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, we've come to this halfway point in Lent. So we're halfway done and finished with the time period of penance and sacrifices. So therefore, the Church gives us this time period to, as an encouragement, to also to rejoice in the fact that Easter is coming very quickly. And so it's something for us that we can kind of see through the Mass of how the Church tries to lessen somewhat, even for us visually to see, using the rose vestments as opposed to the violet vestments. And then starting off the introit with the rejoice. Rejoice, I say rejoice, because Easter is near. Easter is coming, the feast that we've been preparing for. And so hopefully that you have prepared well for this time period, that as we still have half of it left, then to reflect and to try to see what you need to try to do to be prepared for this great feast. If you've been using the meditation book that the Society has put out, the Towards Easter, you'll see this past Friday, the liturgy illustrated for us the power of grace. And it's something that I want to try to touch on this morning. Because in some ways, for us to truly rejoice during this time period, we would have to be in the state of grace. Because if not, what is there to rejoice for? because we wouldn't be prepared for the resurrection of our Lord. We wouldn't be prepared for this great feast if we are not in the state of grace. So hopefully then, through this sermon, can also give us the help and the understanding that we need to return to the grace of God if we are not. That we see the importance in that. And by seeing that importance, then we do something about that. But that's where, if we reflect upon, if you had a chance to, say, look through or attend the Mass on Friday, well, obviously it was the first Friday Masses, so you wouldn't have seen that unless you read the Mass itself, that it was the account of the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. We probably know the story fairly well, but it's something that I think also for us to try to consider and think about. Because here you have this woman who was a Samaritan, not of the faith, and yet our Lord spoke to her, asked her for some water. And yet for her, it was a big surprise that he would even speak to her. You know, as we mentioned maybe in sermons past, of how the Samaritans were considered by the Jews to be outsiders. And so therefore, for that, she was surprised, one, by our Lord would even talk to her. But yet you see from that what our Lord tries to do for this woman. It's an invitation to grace. An invitation that is given to her specifically. But then also we can try to look at it and see how for all of us it is something to reflect upon. Of how our Lord knew specifically her life, he would go on to tell her that. So then therefore she thought he's a prophet. But it's interesting to see how our Lord starts off by trying to raise her higher. And that's where, for all of us, we have to try to understand during this time period. We talked about it before. It is a time period to draw us closer to God. Well, how do we draw closer to God? By having the supernatural life in our soul. By having the life of God within us. That is how we can draw closer to Him. And so, yes, our Lord, He says to her, He asks her for a drink. But then He tells her, if you only knew who was asking you this question and what He could give to you, that He would offer to her a drink that would be life everlasting. So there you have the whole understanding of this idea of the drinking from the hidden fountains, the idea of sanctifying grace that comes into our soul, that flows into our soul. We think about that with the hymn, Sicut Cervus, the stag that is drinking from this hidden fountain. It is the fountains of grace. It was actually our Paschal candle from last year. It was this whole idea of the understanding of, yes, the grace of God flowing into our soul. And so that is what our Lord offers to her. But He starts it off by asking her for water. And she's thinking, just, she's right by the well. She has her bucket to draw out the water. She's thinking purely on a natural level. It is only this water to drink, to quench our thirst. But that is specifically what our Lord is not talking about. In a way, He's trying to supernaturalize it. Raise her up. And that's what sanctifying grace does for us. It raises us higher. It raises us up. And so that's what I'm saying. When we're trying to think about drawing closer to God, what does that mean? It means that our soul must be in the state of grace. And that is where truly we will rejoice during this time period. If as we spend our time period of Lent, as we make our way halfway through, that we are drawing ourselves closer to God, by our meditations, by our readings, spiritual readings, by coming to Mass, Stations of the Cross, benediction, the penances that we take on, all of these things are meant to try to draw us closer to God. And so that's where then our Lord offers to her something that is much greater than that. And that's why He says to her, if thou didst know the grace of God, this gift of God, if you only knew what I was offering to you, well, then you wouldn't worry about Jacob's well. You wouldn't worry about this natural thirst that we have. Because therefore we would have the supernatural thirst. This thirst for grace. And so that's what we must be trying to consider during this time period of Lent. As I say, yes, we're halfway over. We can maybe rejoice today because we are halfway over. But truly, let us rejoice over the fact if we find ourselves in the state of grace, of thanking God for these graces that He has given to us to keep that life. And as I say, if we're not, if we have the misfortune of not being in the state of grace, then we need to do something about that as soon as we can. Because as we're drawing closer to, you know, Passion Sunday, then Palm Sunday and Holy Week, it is truly the holiest week of the liturgical year that we're preparing ourselves for. That is why we have that mission. You will have the two confessors each night, that we will hear confessions until the last person needs to go. So as I say, try to make sure to prepare your soul well for that. Because that preparation, as I say, the church gives us preparation for the different feasts. I mean, obviously with the feast of Easter, it gives us 46 days to prepare for. It is a lengthy time period, yes. But it is one to try to help for us to see how important that it is. And so as I say, this story of the Samaritan woman, that this offer of grace that our Lord gives to her, He holds it out to her and she accepts it. And that's the amazing thing, even though, yes, this woman did not live a life pleasing to God, that our Lord even shows her that. And so therefore, for her, instead of being, you know, kind of taken back by that and walking away from our Lord, that she just sees it as, He's a prophet, He knows my whole life. And she goes and tells all the people in the town about how He is a prophet and how He did tell her life. And so for her, it was this moment of grace that was offered to her soul, and she accepted it at that moment. And in a sense, she ran with it. Literally, she ran back to the town to talk about our Lord being such a prophet and trying to get them to see of how much the prophet has come. But as I say, for us, the reflection should be about, okay, she was living a life displeasing to God. She was away from the graces of God. Yes, she was a Samaritan. She wasn't even of the faith. But that our Lord held out this offer of grace to her, and she immediately accepted it. And so it wasn't just the drink of water from Jacob's well. It was this water, this living water for her, that would give her life and life everlasting. That's what our Lord says. Once you drink of this water, you won't thirst ever again. And that is what is important for us to understand, of how He supernaturalized that for her, how He raised her up from where she was, looking purely at the natural level. Oh, he's thirsty. He needs a drink of water. Let me get my bucket and get the water out for him. Well, no, because our Lord immediately says to her, if thou didst know the gift of God, if you only knew who was talking to you, if you only knew what He could offer to you, you wouldn't even be worried about drawing the water out. So even when our Lord says that to her, still on a natural level for her, it's kind of like, oh, wow, you have something that I don't have to draw out water anymore, and I won't be thirsty any longer. And so our Lord tries to keep raising her up, helping her to see, this is where you need to be. To try to raise ourselves up from just the purely natural level. And so that is the reflection for us at this time. That He's offering her this living water, this sanctifying grace, this water that will bring us to eternal life. And that is truly the reflection in this time period of Lent. That our Lord brings back and saves mankind, redeems mankind by what? By grace. By His death on the cross. That is how then it will come back to God's grace. And so that's what's important for us to try to see of how our Lord, yes, He redeemed mankind. He gave us that chance again, but it's up to us whether we accept those graces or not. And so you have the Samaritan woman, she accepted it. You will have some other people that our Lord tries to hold out this idea of grace to, and they don't accept it at all. They walk away from it. They turn their back. I mean, that you even see with some of the disciples of our Lord. When he's talking about having them eat his flesh, obviously referring to the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, they walk away from that. They don't want to deal with it. And so it's important for us to try to see of how our Lord is trying to raise her from the material world. Well, what about us? Are we too caught up in the material world? Are we too caught up in what is around us to not to be in the supernatural life? Do we not have that within our soul? Have we lost that? And as I say, if we've lost it, we need to come back to it. And so that's where, you know, do we understand that properly? What a reflection it is for us to try to reflect at this time. If here you have this person that was not even of the faith, she would offer the grace and she accepted it immediately. How many times have we maybe had a chance to go to confession? Well, we're just not ready yet. We put it off. And for what? Take a chance on our soul? And so that's where, you know, we should look into the in the bulletin and see what are the confession times? What can I make? And if not, okay, well then ask one of the priests. You know, it is so important for us to try to understand, you know, that we need to be in the state of grace. That we need to guard that. We need to protect that. We need to always stay within it. I mean, that is the treasure for us. And yes, it is a gift of God. The grace of God that he offers out to every single one of us. And he will be offering many graces to you during this time period. And so sometimes, yes, we accept those graces. We see that. We make the extra effort, maybe to attend an additional mass. We come to Station of the Cross even though we just got off work. God will reward you for those acts of generosity that you make. Or we offer up things that maybe we really enjoy and we offer that to God. God will reward you for those efforts that you make. Especially when you're looking at it in terms of, I want to take care of my soul. And so maybe it means getting up earlier to come to confession at 7:15 or maybe staying later after benediction. Well, again, God will reward you for that because you have made it very clear that the salvation of your soul is the most important thing in your life. And you will do whatever is necessary to take care of that. And so that needs to be the reflection for us as we're halfway through. Am I drinking from this hidden fountain of grace or not? Because remember, if we're not in the state of grace, it's going to be hard for us, for the sacrifices, the penances, the prayers that we make to do anything for our eternal salvation. Because if we're not in the state of grace, that means we've made ourselves an enemy of God. And so therefore, those don't amount to much. They can amount to trying to help us to convert and bring our soul back to God, yes. But in terms of meriting for our salvation, for heaven, they don't. And so therefore, how important it is for us in this last half of Lent to make sure that we're in the state of grace. That we truly are like that stag drinking from that hidden fountain. And if not, let us make sure we make the time for confession. That we put ourselves back in the state of grace. That we will be like the Samaritan woman that God offers his grace out to us and we accept it immediately. And you can see that immediate response won for her many graces. And so therefore then we will truly understand the liturgy of today if we are in the state of grace by rejoicing because Easter is near. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.